Hello and welcome back to another episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi, the Next Generation, every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor, and here but not here with me is our other co-host.
I'm here. I'm your other host, Chris Sharp, just doing an outfit change.
And today we are recapping season 5, episode 5, titled Weddings, Parties, Anything. But before we do that, we'll get into some trivia for Terry, followed by some Terry's tidbits.
Ooh, excited for some tidbits today. All right, I have 4 questions. First, how old is Diane?
23, allegedly.
Right?
She's 35.
And now I'm going to have to, while you're doing tidbits, you know I'm going to look her up and figure out how old that actor was. How old is Joey?
34.
Yes, look at you. How much did Diane's ex weigh?
200 pounds?
Yes. What does Joey say he's buying at the convenience store? Somebody else says it.
Oh my goodness.
For half credit, you can tell me what he's actually buying.
Was he buying condoms?
Yes.
Okay. What the hell did they say he was buying?
Prophylactics.
I was not going to guess that.
Yes. Okay. So let's see. Today you received an 87%. So very good. I don't think you've gotten a B in a long time.
I honestly don't think I have either. I'm ready. I was very ready for that.
I'm really proud of you.
Yay. So this is where we get into Terry's tidbits. I didn't do a deep dive today because I felt like there was a bunch of random Degrassi related things that we could briefly talk about. One being, did you see it literally dropped like today, but did you see that Drake dropped a teaser for his tour that starts today? But in that teaser, he references the fact that he went to the Degrassi audition high.
Yes, I did see that. I forget where I read that.
It's literally every headline right now. Like, I stumbled upon it on Instagram, just like scrolling, but then I like looked it up and it's literally every headline, like referencing the fact that he was high for his audition. And I feel like that's very telling, because if they were able to tell he was high and they picked him, it makes sense, because it was a teenager doing the shit that the Degrassi kids were doing anyway.
Yes. And I don't know why I don't know why I know this. I don't think it was in the book, but I did hear this before. I have clearly been out of the loop because I had no idea any of this.
Yeah, that's funny. I also don't know why he included it in the in his tour teaser, but I thought that was really funny. And that's like what everyone's talking about right now. And again, very fitting. I don't think it's like his audition is online anywhere, which also might have something to do with it. But
girl,
how old is she?
Diane was 23 when this filmed. The Lord don't want me to talk about this woman. I'm going to try this one more time. Her name is Nicola. She was born in 1981. It was filmed or aired in 2005, likely filmed in 2004. She was 23, give or take a few, when this episode aired. All right. Next thing, that I'm going to stop funny. Talking shit.
Yeah.
Because y'all know that
I can't. So yes, we talked about homegirl's age. We talked about Drake being high for his audition. I thought that this episode was named after like a conversation that was had, because I'm like, there's no way there's a song named Weddings, Parties, Anything or whatever. But there's literally a band with that title. So that's what this is allegedly named after. So that's super random. And then I just wanted to also mention what we had posted earlier in the week, but that Sue Johansson had passed away, and that is very sad.
Ugh, y'all know she was my girl.
Our girl, RIP. Shouts to her for all the sex education. Again, I really do vividly remember the Degrassi episodes that she did growing up, so RIP to our girl. And that's all I have today. Hopefully this episode doesn't cut us off anymore when we're trying to have a conversation. But
honestly. All right. Basically what that's telling me is that we need to get straight to it before they kick us the fuck off, right? Do I even have a plot A and plot B? I don't think I do, and we'll get to it when we get to it. Yeah. All right, so Liberty is still pregnant. She's not speaking to JT. Oh, and this is where I say, I think the plot B for this episode might be Joey and his dating life and not Liberty and JT, which makes sense. I don't know what's going on when I'm recapping this, though, and I don't have it separated. So it's going to be interesting when I add the ad in, although I think I might have to record another ad. Nobody gives a shit. Y'all want to hear about the show. The episode began with band practice for Downtown Sasquatch, which I guess we have returned to this name now that Ashley has flown the coop. Craig has declared the group is a funk band now, and so now once they finish with their round of practice, he begins going in on Jimmy for getting too rogue with the guitar, which incites a spat, and they essentially rag on the direction of the band, their skills, their prospects for booking any gigs. They're not getting along. Ellie Nash steps in to stand up for Craig the way a pick-me always does.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets pacified, they calm down, and practice ends. But after practice, Craig helps Ellie a bit on the drums with a private drumming lesson. Never once has it ever in this series been implied that Craig is good at the drums, but here we are for the sake of drama. Ellie is really loving this, and I don't knock her for it because it did feel a little sensual, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely see where she was coming from with all the stuff about him, because it was leading up to it.
The vibes were there, and you know the right. Boy kept her stringing along forever. But you know what? That's what she... You know, sorry, because y'all know how she do Jimmy, so... In the next scene, Craig oversees Joey. I was about to call him Jelly. Because he's selling a car to a younger and recently single lady who is seeking a band for her sister's wedding. The look Craig gives to Joey when he overhears this guy laying it on thick with this woman, and Craig is just like, what are we doing? I see you. Evidently, this person was dating Diane, who we learned is Diane, was dating a guy in a band, but they broke up and he bailed. So she's desperate for a replacement because it is within the next week. Craig tells Diane about his band, and she agrees to allow them to audition over a glass of wine with Joey. The next day at school, Craig is excited to share with the band that they have been booked for an audition for a wedding because the gods have finally answered.
The god of mediocrity?
Marco inquires about last night with Craig, and Craig assures Marco that it was nothing because...
We rehearsed some more. We did some hardcore funking.
Oh, you do hear the words coming out of your mouth.
Naturally. They did this on purpose. And Marco looks at him like, okay. But Craig insists, I'm not a scumbag to females anymore. Like, oh, I said scumbag and I meant succumbing. I can read.
That is funny. Both works though.
So he says he's not going to succumb to any female distractions this year. This year, Craig plans to be a monk. But immediately after he says this, a random blonde girl walks by Craig and strokes his arm, and he runs into a glass door. Then he proves that I'm gonna be a monk this year by rescuing Manny in the next scene where we see him. Manny walks by Darcy, the Christian who's canoodling with Spinner and the guy who got his best friend shot, just in case you guys forgot. And they apparently think they are not above snubbing Manny, the girl who took her top off for Peter. Because I was just like, okay, so we know Darcy's judgmental, but mm-hmm. Spinner, do you remember?
Literally not so long ago, y'all were dating, and...
One of the things I hate about Christianity era is how judgy he becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you forgave yourself, but you thought nobody else deserves forgiveness.
Yeah, right.
That's interesting.
It is, and it's literally like that also was working for you because no one else was willing to talk to you anyway. So, like, mm-hmm. you're kind of stuck in that corner, so now you're really just trying to milk it. But the nerve of you, literally, you got somebody shot, and you're trying to... Someone, like, leaked revenge porn on Manny, and you're judging her. You literally got your best friend shot. That's crazy.
BFFR, as we always say.
Wild.
Anyway, So she greets them and they turn the other way. And Peter pops up and he tries to beg Manny to just put everything behind her. Because you know he don't like being told no.
Right.
Because then he pushes Manny against the locker and tells her that he is not finished talking to her. Because she like tries to walk away. And then in steps Craig, who tells Peter that he needs to back the fuck up and get the step in. Craig asks Peter if he's clear, and Peter simply replies, Crystal, which I thought was funny, and it felt like foreshadowing, because, you know, Peter ends up doing math. Spoiler alert.
I don't remember that, and that's funny that they made him say that.
Wait. I cannot wait till we get there, because he does.
What? And you know,
future lessons. My mama always said there is no quality control in street drugs, and again, continued spoilers. Peter takes what he thinks is cocaine, and it turns out it was meth, basically. My mama said, no quality control, and who are you going to tell the police sold you the wrong drugs?
Right, because you're not even supposed to be buying them. Wow. Mm-hmm. What a drug to take on accident.
Right? Oof. Like, wow. I had a friend, who had taken too much edibles their first time taking edibles, and if you take too many edibles your first time or any time, if you overdose, it makes you highly anxious, and this person was convinced that the edibles were actually meth.
Oh no.
Anytime you're taking a substance, you don't make sense, if especially if you take too much of it, and I think this is indicative of that. That's all I got.
Oh, no. That's a terrible downward spiral anyway, when you're super hungry.
Craig and Manny are eating lunch outside, and Craig asks Manny if she's okay, but when she takes out her sandwich, which I'm not sure if she read as, like, him asking her this because of her sandwich having a lot of mayonnaise on it, because she explains that Mr. Simpson...
I just really feel like they're trying to silence us today.
They are. It's probably the storm fucking up my Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I mean, the way those roads were flooded, it seemed like it was pretty bad. I shouldn't have been driving in it. I actually considered staying at, or my friend is right across from the baby gym where said child goes. And I was like, I should probably stay here and wait out this storm. And I said, no, you'll do it. And then the entire expressway was flooded. So, bad idea.
That's wild. And yeah, and there's nothing you can do about that. God forbid you end up in a big ass puddle. Like...
Well, all I kept hearing was don't drown, turn around. But where can someone please write in to tell me where does one turn around when you're on the expressway if you didn't know it was flooded?
Yeah. Yo, that happened to me before. I couldn't turn around, but I literally was already entering the highway and it was like a lake at the end of it. I'm like, well, I can't do anything now, so just gotta pray about it and drive through it.
Right. So in case anyone knows, what are you supposed to do when you hop on the expressway where you can't turn around and the expressway is flooded? What do? Do you just like not move?
Right. Get out.
Because you can't pull off to the side because again, it's flooded.
Yeah.
And don't Madness. Drown, turn around doesn't exactly explain that. But before they cut us off again and try to silence us, Manny's sandwich has a lot of mayonnaise on it because Mr. Simpson really likes mayonnaise. And this is where things just get crazy for me. Manny is like, no, I'm not okay. I know you saw the video. And Craig tells her that if he had been there, he would have made sure that Peter hadn't been able to take advantage of her because that's what friends are for. But my question is, where the hell was Emma Nelson?
Right.
Because she was at the party.
At the party. That is so true. What? Like, not Captain Save-A-Ho Craig over here willing to do more for Manny than Emma was, and she was literally there. Because she was too worried about the fact that Peter was into Manny, which Manny literally couldn't control, and she tried to, but she couldn't.
Right. I didn't try to seduce your man. He liked me.
Right. Girl, so not Craig the revenge
really,
porn.
Really... Craig is, where the hell is my dog? My mom really didn't drop... Anyway, Craig is really laying this friendship game on thick for Manny, and he's also laying it on thick for Ellie at their therapy group. Mm. He tells Ellie how integral their friendship has been for his progress, and he's really in a good place. So I just have to ask you, while we're here, do you think that Craig has good intentions with everything so far in this episode, or do you think he's kind of playing both sides?
I think he's playing both sides. I don't think, like, I just couldn't see any good coming from anything. Like, it literally is, by the time he gets to this little group, right? He's already had conversations with people about Ellie. So you know that people already think y'all are into each other or there's something going on and you're playing on it versus just sitting her down and being like, you've been a great friend and I'd like to keep it that way. Like, I, at this point in the like the episode, I could totally see why she was blurring the lines because he's literally praising her in front of all these people saying that she's so great. Why wouldn't you think that a relationship could come from that?
Exactly. Oh, in case anyone was wondering, my dog's here. All right, so I actually thought he did have good intentions, so I have an opposite opinion, which is fine. But I just thought that kind of maybe he had all the good intentions going in, it just did not end the way, because it's high school. So, of course, you blurred the lines, you made things complicated. Obviously, Ellie already was starting to crush on him. Manny apparently is always going to love Craig. Ew.
Which makes no sense to me, but yeah.
Girl. So Craig and Joey are discussing their dating life, and Joey's dressed in this super dorky, even though Diane is coming over that evening. But Joey laments that he's 34 and asks Craig, what am I going to do with a 23-year-old?
Do you need me to draw you a diagram?
I think that their relationship is cute and in this episode. And I like how they're supporting each other because Joey bounces it back and he asks Craig about Ellie, but Craig insists that he and Ellie are only friends, and that's all he wants to be, even against the suspicions of Joey. So this entire episode has been all about Joey and Craig, because the next scene is all about the audition, and it goes very well, and the band gets booked, and even better, Joey gets to be Diane's wedding date out of the whole thing. So Craig gets a band gig, Joey gets a date, but I think it's crazy that Diane is inviting a actual stranger to her sister's wedding the day before it takes place, which felt very 23-year-old.
Yeah, that's actually true, because most people would at that point just go alone, especially if you just got out of a relationship and it's your sister's wedding and there's like photos, you know what I mean, like, and you're a bridesmaid, like people are gonna see, like there's just gonna be photos of you with this person you met yesterday for years to come,
right? Like, I'm sorry, what? Okay. In our next scene, Craig is seen alone at the dot with Ellie. They're celebrating their brand, getting booked for the wedding, when Manny enters by herself, only to be invited to join the two of them. And see, this is where, first of all, high school going to high school, but also, Craig, you're being an idiot.
Yeah. See, this is my problem, because I feel like the more people started being like, hey, Craig, like, what's up with you and Ellie, is the harder he tried to friend zone her by, like, and like bringing Manny into their like little meet and thing at the dot. Like, and in this scene, Marco literally just like mentioned that he was like letting them be by themselves. But again, rather than being like, hey, Manny, maybe later, and then having that conversation with Ellie, just being like, you're a great friend, we need to be friends, you just bring Manny. So you just start friend zoning her mad hard. Like, that's annoying. Just right. be real.
Friends.
Yeah.
We're all friends here. Like, how many times are you going to say friends, sir?
Right. And these two girls don't like each other. They don't talk to each other any other day.
And we know that Ellie thinks that Manny is icky because her little woman-hating ass makes a comment. I think it's at the end of the season, so maybe she's not there. But, like, she's obviously Team Ashley.
Yeah, although, that's what I was going to say.
How can you be Team Ashley while going for her? And you know what? Anyway.
High school girl is high school logic.
I know we can't help who we like, but, like, Craig has told Ellie on more than one occasion that he views her as a friend. So she isn't wrong for liking Craig, but, like, I'm sick of watching her pine after him, jealous. It's like super jealous at this point. Like, let the boy go. Marco is talking about Craig's date at the dot with him while they browse a convenience store, and Craig assures Marco that it wasn't a date because his other friend Manny joined them. And I feel like Craig is I think he's being stupid, like, on purpose. And they run into Joey, so it's super awkward at first because he's got a very large box of condoms in his hand. Craig is so mortified, and I love how Marco steps up. Marco's the one who says, and he calls him prophylactics, which, in case anyone's wondering, is a way to prevent disease. And so it could apply to multiple items, I guess. Could hand sanitizer be a prophylactic? Is butter a carb? Anyway, so Joey confidently tells him, no glove, no love. And y'all know Craig needed to hear that.
Okay, let's be so for real. And again, shout out to Dr. Sally for instilling these safe sex ideologies into at least Marco's head.
She was an icon. All right, so Ellie shows up to the band to load equipment, and she apparently looks cute because Jimmy whistles and Craig drops the speaker. I'm not trying to be shady. I do think Ellie is cute, but there was nothing remarkable about how she shows up in this moment.
Yeah, I guess it's literally just the fact that she's normally in three different layers of black clothing, so.
Right.
She was, like, showing her kneecaps. I think it's funny that, wow, I almost did the most annoying thing. I almost called Jimmy Drake, and I hate when people do that. When Jimmy, like, his background, like, 2 cents that he's been throwing in this whole episode is so funny, like, with Ellie and Manny, like...
It is, and I think he was also the one who made the comment about the gods of mediocrity.
Yes, I think so. He's so funny in this episode.
He was good for a lot of lines. Mm-hmm. So Ellie's moment gets overshined or outshined by Manny, because she shows up in a silver skirt with a sleeveless green top, and she flat ironed her layers. Manny has dressed and worn her hair so much better before, but I guess everyone else thinks she's cute.
Girl, you know what's funny is, like, Manny looked like the 23-year-old in this episode.
Like, girl. And the 23 Someone's looked 40, mom. Only to find out yes. that she was actually 23. What is happening?
Sorry, girl. No offense. But, wow, I really thought they put you in a role that was 10 years younger.
Maybe it was just what they had her wearing. I don't True. Know. Anyway. So... Manny was invited to help load equipment, and Ellie, of course, makes a shady-ass comment about Manny's outfit being impractical, but Craig is now caught between Ellie and Manny because he thinks they both look super amazing. Ellie goes this whole night hating on Manny, and it's really unbecoming of her, and this is truly her downfall.
Mm.
She's mad at Manny for sitting around, so Manny suggests that, okay, I'll play the tambourine, but Ellie tells Manny that they don't need stage art, basically, up there, and... Manny walks away by suggesting that every band needs at least one attractive girl, implying that it could be her because they don't already have one. Ellie gets pissed. Jimmy rolls his neck in the background. It's a whole thing. I know y'all love that clip. Diane introduces Joey to her friends, and he's super dorky. And Joey dances about as terribly as you could imagine. I think if you recall Manny's dancing yes. from last season, I also said Jimmy. I don't know what the hell Jimmy did that was embarrassing, but he must have done something. I specify last season because Manny hops on stage to dance with a band, and it's not as embarrassing as she was during the dance with Chester. So what changed, girl?
Yeah, it's that haircut and that tambourine gave her some rhythm, I guess.
Joey overhears Diane's friends mocking him for being so old, and his feelings are visibly hurt, so he pretends like he's sick and he excuses himself from the wedding. Meanwhile, Manny is dancing super cute on stage, and Ellie is on the drums rolling her eyes and being a hating ass bitch. Like, and I don't want to be clear, I'm not team Ellie or Manny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm team fuck Craig, metaphorically, not literally. And it's just not cute. It's just not cute. Stop it.
It's too much over the guy who cheated on his girlfriend publicly, got someone pregnant, and just did all the things.
The one who's truly in front of you. It's like, she's sitting right there. Do you remember how he got someone pregnant? It was her.
Right.
Anyway. So she throws her drumstick at Manny, resulting in the two of them storming off stage. Craig chases after Ellie, and she admits that her whole attire was done for him, but then she claims it wasn't done for him. It was just done for the gig. Sure, Jan. Craig tells Ellie that she's been an amazing friend to him, and she storms off anyway. Diane shows up at Joey's house the next day with a cheap excuse, but then she ends up assuring Joey that she's tired of dating children and she's ready to get herself a man, so she doesn't care about his age. Craig goes to see Manny the next day, uninvited, and he finds her in her pajamas, and she apologizes for ruining his gig, which is more than Ellie could say, and she's the one who actually ruined it. Craig tells Manny that he just wanted to cheer her up, which is why he invited her. And Manny asks, well, what are friends for? But somehow they end up kissing and the episode ends. And I did not understand anything.
I don't get that either, because on the Degrassi fandom wiki, they said this is the start of their second or third relationship. And I'm like, where? I thought they were friends. I'm so confused.
I watched this whole episode and I didn't see any inclination that y'all were getting back together until you kissed.
Right. And it's also like, Ellie, I just can't believe Ellie for someone that actually was in the band, because for someone that's reminding Manny that she's not in the band, why would you mess up your first gig mid-performance because homegirl got a tambourine? Like, at least get your money first and then throw the drumstick at her. But mid-performance, honestly, Like, you're not honestly thinking long term. You're just really short term, focused on the goal. And again,
which makes it makes sense. Y'all know teens got those undeveloped frontal lobes.
Right. Very irrational. But it's also like Ellie's flaw here is that she envisioned him being something other than what he's ever shown to be in relationships. Like, this is Craig, where it's just like he's probably always going to have multiple people after him. He's always going to pick someone over the other. And also, he literally left your friend for Manny, who he's going to leave you for now. You know what I mean? It's just like, what did you expect?
I'm so tired of this cat.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I'm over it. He about to scratch the hell out of my face. I just feel
definitely
it.
Definitely is.
Oh my God.
Look at him.
Ugh. Ooh, I almost died. All right.
I'm dead. I'm so dead.
So my episode moral is, one, don't put a cat on your shoulders. And two, no glove, no love.
That's a good one. Let me see what I had. I don't think I really pulled a full moral. I think I just said that they were trying to show the similarities between, like, Joey and Craig in this episode in terms of their dating lives and, like, how they handle their romantic relationships. And I guess what I got from that is that they both truly could benefit from communicating with people they are or are not interested in. Because for Joey to run off in the middle of a wedding because a bunch of 23-year-olds were ranking him is very childish.
But that's also why you don't invite some stranger to your sister's wedding the day before.
Yeah, it's homegirl's fault, but it's like, not you ran off because these 23-year-old girls bullied you. Like,
girl. I just felt crazy. Old. Like, I mean, as a 34-year-old, I could never. Like, if a 23-year-old called me old, I am. And y'all are stupid.
And you're stupid. Right? But that's what I'm saying. Like, you'd have something back for them. Like,
like, I would never have to say anything. It's like, yeah, I am kind of old. I am. And I can't dance. And you know what? The thing about being 34, the difference of being 23, is that I happily cannot dance. And what are you going to, and what about it?
Like, and what about it? Right.
Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. But I'm a grown man with a business at this point in time. Now, granted, his business wasn't doing well, but it seems to be doing better.
Right.
Like, there's nothing you're going to do at 23 to make me feel bad at 34 if I am safe and secure in who I am as an adult. And so I think that really demonstrates a level of, just a significant level of insecurity that he still exhibits. And
that's true.
And just has. Because there's, and again, I don't think that I'm better than any 23-year-olds. I'm not shitting on them. I mean, your frontal lobe is still underdeveloped and y'all be saying some hella stupid shit. But it's like, I went through those mistakes at 23, so I'm in such a better place at 34 that there's nothing you can really say that's going to hurt my feelings because, you know, I went through it and now I'm here.
Yeah, I think it's because he was just coming off the, like, that relationship with Caitlyn, so he's probably even more insecure than he was before when it comes to women. I mean, yeah, and then Caitlyn was also thrown in his face that he wasn't making money like that, so he can't even feel secure in the fact that he's a man with a business. Like, dang, fucking Caitlyn.
All right, so you ready for us to wrap this up before they cut off my internet again?
Yep.
At his father's urging, Jimmy tries out for the National Wheelchair Sports Association junior basketball team. That was a really long name. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. Even though Jimmy wants to concentrate on his art. Meanwhile, Liberty and JT attempt to keep Danny from telling their parents about the baby. Y'all stupid. See, this is what I'm talking about. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend and rate us highly on these apps. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media platforms or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back this time next week, whatever it takes.